Amen. Anybody adore him this morning? Anybody in love with Jesus this morning? Amen. We love because he first loved us. Anybody in love with him today? Amen. There's an old song. Y'all, I don't know if y'all notice this. Falling in love with Jesus. Y'all know that? Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus was the best thing I've ever done. Y'all got to help me. My voice is cracking. Y'all help me sing that if you know it. Say, falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love. Another part that says in his arms. I love my parents, I love y'all, but I declare the best thing that I've ever done is falling in love with Jesus. Amen. You know why? Because there's another old song that said, can't nobody do me like Jesus. Amen. Nobody can do me like he can. Nobody else, as much as I love y'all, y'all couldn't forgive my sins. Amen. And I know all of y'all, the only ones that maybe might do it are my mom and dad are right here. But I don't think most of y'all would die for me. Amen. The Bible says for a good man, somebody might die. Maybe. Amen. But he loved me and he died for me so that he could forgive my sins. And when somebody loves you like that, you can't help but love them back. Amen. And when you love him, you want to live for him. Amen. Amen. Bless the Lord. Welcome to Encounter Life Church. For those in the building, for those of you at home, we are so glad that you're here to worship with us this morning. We serve a good God. Amen. Aren't you excited about him? You can clap for that. Amen. If this is your first time here at Encounter Life, here or there, we want to connect with you. There's a very simple way you can do that. You can do that electronically right on our website. There is a digital connect form if you go to encounterchurch.net. You can do that even if you're in here this morning. If you go to encounterchurch.net/next, there's a form that will come up and you can say, look, let us know your name, who you are, where you're watching from, and say, look, I'm new to Encounter Life. that same form, I'm going to reference it later, because when we come to church, when we come and show up here at Encounter Life, we expect God to show up. And when God shows up and you have an encounter with him, it changes everything. So my prayer is that as we proceed through and the word goes forth, that you encounter the presence of God, and he motivates you and inspires you and moves you to make some choices and decisions in your life. And that same form that is there that you see, that you can let us know you're new, that same form, you can let us know what kind of decision that you made. Whether a decision to follow Christ for the first time, whether a decision to recommit your life to Christ, you can do that as well. Amen? And also for some of you guys who may not be access to the internet right now, if you're right on your phone, you can send a text message. You can text the word new to 301-804-2520. 301-804-2520. If you're new, if you say I'm out and about and the website might be too much to try to get to, just send it by text. Text the word new. That's the message, N-E-W, and you're going to send it to 301-804-2520, and that'll let us know that you're new here as well. You can fill out the digital connect form right there on your phone. Amen? Technology is amazing. Amen? Technology also allows us to give. Aren't we so glad that God has given us the privilege to give? Because when we give, we're giving to him, right? To give into God has called. He has blessed us, but he has not blessed us for us to hoard it to ourselves, but to give. And so that his work can continue, and so we can enlarge his kingdom. So we're going to give you an opportunity to give later on today. You can do that through our website at encounterchurch.net. You can give via Cash App as well at Encounter Life, $Encounter Life. We'll come back to that later. But I'm just excited because next week is Christmas. We are 6 days away from Christmas. Anybody excited about Christmas? I know the children are excited about Christmas, and my house kids excited about Christmas. Last night, man, if you were, yeah. See, you clapping because you were, look, see, y'all already know. Did we have a time last night? Look, I hope you were at home, enjoyed it. If you did not see it, it will be up again for you to watch. He was born for this. An amazing Christmas production. Last night, the word of God went forward. The gospel went forward. And I just praise God. I praise God for Brother Jamal, Mr. Jamal Weldon, and just the vision, Andrew Smith, and just writing the song. Y'all don't know, this little place right here, God has allowed us to release our first single. Amen. Amen. If you didn't get it, look, go to all digital platforms, you know, iTunes, wherever y'all Android people get y'all music from. I'm an Apple guy. Well, go to all digital platforms, download it. He was born for this, Encounter Life Music Ministry. Listen, it is an amazing, amazing song. That song blessed my soul. I mean, it blessed my soul. I just kept playing over and over again. And then when they did it live last night with the dance to it, oh, my goodness, that was an awesome, awesome time. Because we recognized why he was born. He was the greatest gift of all. God came to earth to identify with us so he could forgive us of our sins. And now you can trust him every step of the way. Amen? We had an amazing time last night. And today we're going to be continuing our series. This is week 3. Last week, Brother Al gave a word about God being a wonderful counselor. Was that last Sunday? Brother Al talked about being that wonderful counselor. Amen. We praise God that we serve a God who is able to guide us and lead us and direct us. And I praise God for that GPS example. I love it. But Brother Al talked about how when you in your car, anybody, you get the GPS and you get wrong, and how it just starts recalibrating the direction, and how God does us that way. When we get off track, it just recalibrates, and he's always going to get us to where he's designed for us to go. Don't we serve a good God? Even when we get off track, the wonderful counselor comes and gets us right where we need to go. Amen? And we're continuing our series this morning. He was born for this. I want you, if you have your phone or your Bible, your tablet, wherever you are, Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. We're going to look at some characters in this passage in Luke chapter 2 as we talk about why he was born. And I call this message, Let the Shepherds Lead Us. y'all heard the hymn, Savior Like a Shepherd Lead Us? Well, in this passage, there are some shepherds, some real shepherds there, and we're going to let them lead us, let them be an example for us to follow as we see what they did in Luke chapter 2. Is that okay? Before we do that, can I pray with us really quick, and we're going to get right into God's word this morning. Dear God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to break the bread of life, to open your word, and to learn from you and to hear what you have to say to us. I pray that, Lord, as we look in Luke chapter 2, that, Lord, we will take these lessons from the shepherd and pattern our lives after and be chasers. Help us to be God chasers, Lord God, and to proclaim your glory. We love you. We thank you. We thank you for the word that came forward last night. We pray today, if there's anyone who is here in our midst who's never accepted Christ as Lord and Savior of their life, I pray that, Lord, you'll open the eyes of their heart so that they can see you today. We praise you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. You know, it's so funny. One of the songs last night that they did was, I believe it was No Room. No Room was one of the songs that they did last night. And as I looked at this passage in Luke chapter 2, I always think about the innkeeper. And it doesn't give a person the name of an innkeeper, but I always thought, like, who was the person keeping the inn when Jesus came through? And what was he thinking about? And he probably wasn't aware of what was coming before him. But let's look at Luke chapter 2, verses 6 and following. Luke 2, 6 and following. I'm going to go down to verse 18 real quick. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger." And suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. And all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. Then go down to verse 20. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. May God add blessing to the reading and hearing of his words. We're going to look at some lessons. We're going to let the shepherds lead us tonight. But before we do that, I want to just look at this passage. And one time I was going to name this message, What Will You Do With Jesus? And one of the things that I notice here in chapter 2, Luke chapter 2, if you see what happens, it says, there was no room for him in the inn. And I started thinking, how much like is that today? Today, the question is, there's so many, Jesus Christ, Christmas is coming, and the story of Christmas is that Christ came, God came to earth. It's not about the gifts under the tree, but the gift who came to hang on the tree. But as we celebrate the coming, this is Advent season, to see the coming of the Christ child, just like over 2,000 years ago, when Jesus was coming, there was no room for him. Today in 2021, I believe there's some folks who still have no room for Jesus. And I asked myself the question, well, why was there no place? Why could he find a place to lodge? And it says there was no room. Then it was two things that came to mind. If there were an innkeeper, can y'all just be with me and let me use my sanctified imagination. It says there was no room for him in the inn, but I don't know, was there an innkeeper there or not, or somebody who lived there? My question is, why couldn't he stay there? And two things came to my mind. Maybe one, it was too crowded. And I thought about us today. Sometimes there's no room for Christ because our lives are too crowded with other things. Today, have I filled my time? Have I filled my life up with so many other things that I cannot make room enough for the Savior? It was too crowded. They tried to find a place, and there was no room for the Messiah to come in because their lives were too crowded. And that's today. There's some of us today, even if they knew who he was, look, they didn't make room for him. My question is today, will you make room for him? Jonathan McReynolds, I love the song he has. I will make room for you. Everything else in my life needs to get out the way so I can make room for Jesus. When you recognize who this is, that God came to earth to identify with me, everything else got to go on the shelf. Today, my question is, what will you do with Jesus? Is your life too crowded? And even once we've come to know Christ, sometimes, so you know what? We can push him out on the periphery of our lives. Just look at where he ended up being. Jesus came and he was relegated to a place outside in a stable in a feeding trough because there was no room. When I think about a house, you think of that place, that your place of safety, that place, your place where you dwell and you feel comfortable. And they said, listen, that where you dwell and feel comfortable, there's no room for Jesus, but he can stay on the property. Today, is he just on the property? Have you relegated Christ to the fringes of your life? Or have you invited him right into the center in the living room? Have you allowed him to come in and take full control? Is your life too crowded for Jesus this season? As we look at Christmas, do you know we have crowded Jesus out of Christmas? Now they don't even want you to say the word Christmas. They want you to say it's a holiday party. Y'all know that's how they do on your job sometimes, don't they? It's a holiday party. We want to take Christ out of Christmas. We don't have enough room for him. And this is what it's all about. He is the reason for the season. What will you do with Jesus? Is your life too crowded? For some people, it's too crowded. They recognize he's come, but I got too many other things going on. What it means, there are other idols in place. An idol is anything that I've elevated above God in my life. Anything I've elevated above the presence of Christ in my life is an idol. What is sitting on the throne of your life today? That innkeeper did not have room, whoever that was, innkeeper, the resident of that place where they came, where Joseph and Mary came at that time and couldn't find a place to stay. Too crowded, no room. But you know what? There are some people, it's too crowded. They recognize who's coming, it's too crowded. But he also was totally clueless. See, there was, I believe, yes, it was crowded, but there are some people today that don't even recognize who this Messiah is. So there's some people who thought it was just another man and a pregnant woman. They didn't recognize, like I said, Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Maybe he didn't know. Maybe he was totally clueless. And today, December the 19th, 2021, do y'all know there are people totally clueless about why he came? There are people whose lives are too crowded. Yes, I know he's the Messiah, but I got other things going on. But there's some people who are totally clueless. They are unaware that this is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords who came to be born as a baby so he can identify with us. And because they're totally clueless, you know what the Bible says? Now he's given to us the message. Now God is making his appeal through us. So those who are around us today, if you're watching and you were totally clueless, this is Christmas, and you might be watching me today and didn't recognize what Christmas was all about. But Christmas is about the Christ child, the anointed one, the one who would come to save us, to give us life eternal, forgive us of all of our sins. That's what this is all about. That's what we celebrate. We celebrate God coming to earth so that he can buy us back, to get us back to our original state. Don't you know that's a beautiful thing? Last night, that video that they showed with that song that just told the story that man, you know, we were created perfect. God made man in his image and likeness, and we were designed in perfection, and God has placed eternity in our hearts. You were made to live eternally. But he also gave us a free will, and that free will, we sinned, and that sin separated us from God. And because, listen, that's a good God. Y'all, we messed up, and he's running after us to fix it. Usually in a situation when I mess up, I got to be the one who fixes it. We messed up and God said, you don't have the capacity to get it right. But I love you so much that I'm going to come. You're totally clueless. I'm going to come to earth like you so that I can redeem you, so that our relationship can be restored, to get us back to where we were at first. What will you do with Jesus? Is your life too crowded? If it's too crowded, you know what? It's time to clean, do some house cleaning. Anybody need to do some house cleaning today? In this Christmas time, we got to clean out all of the things, all of the distractions. And even in church, y'all know there's so many distractions. We get going and we trying to do all the stuff for the holiday and buying gifts and doing all this and make sure this is right, that we forgot what this season is all about. Move the distractions and get focused on the Master. Focus on the Master. If we continue to move, listen, they came, in chapter 2, verse 6, it says they got there. Verse 6, it says right here, while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger. Why? Because there was no guest room available for them. Man. Can you imagine the God of the universe, no place for him to stay? And I love it because this leads us into these next characters here, because after that, it's amazing that what God chooses, he chooses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. He said, listen, I'm coming, and the people who got stuff, they don't have room for me. The people who got roof over their head don't have room for me. So I'm going to show up, and let me announce my presence to somebody who's an outcast. Who's an outcast, and everybody doesn't look too fondly upon. If you could look at the passage right here, keep going down at verse 8, it says, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flock by night. I think that is fitting. Verse 7 says they wrapped him because there was no guest room available. And then he says, verse 8, and there were shepherds. Well, you know anything about the shepherds? Shepherds were people that were outcasts. People did not look good upon shepherds. Because the shepherds were always, they were never clean. They were always out. That's why they were out in the field. They couldn't be amongst everybody. They were always kept ceremonially unclean. They were looked at, they were a lower class of people. When you think about, go back to the Old Testament, when you think about Joseph and his brothers, when they found out that Joseph and his brothers and his family, they were shepherds, they didn't like shepherds. Shepherds were not looked highly upon. And I love it. It says, Joseph and Mary came. God, listen, they came looking for a place. Nobody had room for them. So the Lord said, I'm going to announce my coming. I'm going to announce the birth of the cross child to the people that nobody likes, that are on the fringes of society. And there's three things that we can learn from these shepherds, and I'm going to be out of your way. This thing that God pulled out that I saw, that if you want to, listen, as the Christ child is coming, if you want to be effective for God, if you want this season, understand the true meaning of this season and have the Christ child's birth have an impact on your life, there's three things you notice about the shepherds. Number one, they were positioned to hear from God. They were positioned to hear from God. What is a position to hear from God? A position of humility. See, what God speaks to those who are ready to hear him. Somebody, if you're in position to hear, that's when he speaks. If you're not in position, God is not going to waste time speaking to people he knows who ain't going to obey him in the first place. If you already think you know, I told my son, if you already think you know, you ain't never going to grow. So God comes to people who are already on the outskirts, already people that people don't like. And can you imagine what it feel like that the God of the universe said, I'm going to allow my angels to come and proclaim the birth of the Christ child to you. You may not think highly of yourself, but I'm going to let you know, guess what? This is what I think about you. Couple of things about the shepherds. Where were they? They were isolated. And it was at nighttime. It said they were watching over their flock. They were out in the field, isolated, watching their flocks by night. How many to know? If you want to hear from God, you got to be in position. Be in position to hear from God. Sometimes you got to get by yourself. He said, listen, they were out in the field. Sometimes you got to be by yourself. You got to separate yourself from some folk in order for you to hear what God has to say to you. And also, he sometimes speaks at the darkest points of your life. See, you got to be in position to hear from God. How many of y'all today have heard from God when at a low point in your life? Sometimes God has to knock you down to your knees so you can hear from him. He got to knock you down so you can look up. The shepherds were in a humble position. They were a lowly. He came to lowly shepherds. You got to be positioned to hear from God. Today, my question is, are you in position? Have you positioned yourself to hear from God? How do you do that? You got to humble yourself. The Bible tells us not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. We got to recognize the shepherds. Look, society always let them know who they were, but we got to recognize we are but dust. Sometimes, you know, and it's amazing, especially in the Western world, in this country, we don't think we need Jesus. Amen. We really don't think we need Jesus. And in fact, even in the church, we don't think some of the people we know need Jesus. Why? We have this mindset that the people who need Jesus are poor, destitute, are on the out fringes of society. Right? But the reason why, because a lot of times when you're at your lowest point, that's when it's easier to hear. But how many know that all of us need Jesus? And what you got to recognize, you got to position yourself to hear from God. What you got to recognize is, guess what? Even if you got money in your bank account, you're still poor and destitute. See, we got to understand that you are totally depraved. There is none righteous. No, not one. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. No matter what your bank account says, no matter what your retirement plan says, no matter what your position or status in life is, God looks at us all the same. That's why he came to the least of these. Because the most of these didn't think their stuff stank. You got to be positioned to hear from God. And he came to the shepherds. He said there was no, I think it's strategic. Verse 7, there was no guest room for him. People got a roof over their head, had no place for him. But the men living in the field, let me go talk to them. Because you already know. Today, have you positioned yourself to hear from God? Do you recognize how lowly we actually are? That all of our sins have separated us from God. And that there's none righteous before him. The shepherds, they positioned themselves to hear from God. But not only that, I love it. If we go back, that after they heard from God, it says the shepherds were living, verse 9, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But this is the beautiful thing. Once you hear from God, we call our church Encounter Life Church because our desire, our vision is that people encounter God's presence, discover their purpose, and experience his power. Once you have encountered the presence of God, once they heard from God, I love what they did. They then pursued the Christ child. So what you got to be positioned to hear from God, but also what he's looking is for people who will run after him. Today, are you running after his presence? Are you running after his presence? Or are you running after material things? Once they heard from God and they said, listen, the angels told them about the Christ child. They said, now we must go and see this. They pursued him. Look at the verse, what it says in verse 15 and 16. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in a manger. My question today is, do you pursue the presence of God?
Do you pursue him? Do you run after him? Are you desperate for him? That's what God is asking. That's what he wants. That's what this is all about. When I recognize, they saw and they heard, they were in position to hear from God, and they recognized why he came. And then what did they do? Let's go see this thing. I want to be in his presence. Do you long to get in his presence? Do you know what God is looking for? God, he's looking for God chasers. Not paper chasers. Not paper chasers, but presence chasers. Those who will chase after his presence. And the reason why, you know why you got to chase that? When you run after him, I love that song, I'm chasing after you. I'm praising my way through. Why am I chasing his presence? Because in his presence is everything else I need in life. See, we chase paper, but he says, listen, my God shall supply all your needs. He said, look, if I will dress the lilies of the field, won't I do much more for you? You're more precious to me than all the sparrows. And if I know which one of them falls to the ground, won't I take care of you? So chase his presence, because your provision is in his presence. Some of us chasing joy and fulfillment. He says, in my presence is fullness of joy. What we're getting now, when you chase experience, when you chase happiness, and when you chase pleasures in this life, it's a cheap imitation. It's like a sugar rush. You get it and then you crash. And you got to keep going back. It's like some kind of addiction. But his joy is unspeakable and full of glory. And listen, and it never runs out. And a good thing about his joy, see, when you trace the pleasures of this life, when you get it and you say, oh man, now I don't even like that. How many of us have gotten something and now you don't even really like it anymore? Christmas is the perfect, y'all got kids. How many of you as parents have stuff that you have stepped on out? Kid asked you for, you done stepped on the toy, the kid, and now the dog playing with it. We chase pleasures. Now, I'm talking about the kids, but how many of us as adults have gotten toys that we said, ooh, I'll need that car. Boy, I know, oh man, if I could get that house. And now the house feels too small. Ain't about nobody but you and your wife in there. It's too small. The car, man, this thing is so outdated. It's still running, but it's outdated. You get the pleasure and you like it for a while. It might last you 6 months, a year. Now you're looking for the next one. Because when you chase pleasures, it never satisfies. But when you pursue the presence, he gives you joy. And that your joy might be what? Full. It never runs out. That's joy. Joy is connected to a person. It's connected to the presence of God. So I have joy even when my material things are gone. I just saw this the other day that blessed my heart, and I can't remember the song he was playing, but y'all know the all of those storms in Kentucky that went through and tore up the state of Kentucky. There was a man sitting in his house. I saw somebody posted this on Instagram or TikTok. And he was playing in his house. He was in his house, and the piano was still standing. And he was just with the roof off the house. The roof was off the house. You can hear the rain falling, and he was just playing a hymn of praise to God. Sitting at the piano that where his house had been torn up, nothing else standing but the piano, and he was giving God glory on the keys. Because I still got joy. My roof is gone, but I still got joy, because joy is in his presence. We learn from the shepherds that they got positioned to hear from God. And then they pursued the presence of God. I love it. It said when they heard it, they didn't hesitate. They hurried to the village. They hurried after him. Today, can you imagine what everything that we're doing in life if the church began to truly pursue God? I believe today we're in a day and an age where the church is not even pursuing God. Pastors aren't pursuing God. We're pursuing likes. We're pursuing followers. We're not pursuing the presence. God is calling us to pursue his presence in everything, because it's not about my status, it's about his status. Position yourself to hear from God. Pursue the presence of God. Pursue after him. And then the next thing we learn from the shepherds is this. Number three, they proclaimed his glory and told the story. They proclaimed his glory and told the story. Look at verse 17. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. Verse 18, all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. And go down to verse 20. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angels told them. Listen, you get in position to hear from God. You pursue the presence of God. And as you pursue the presence of God, guess what? Then you reap the benefits of being in the presence. And now what God is calling you to do is now go out and proclaim his glory and tell the story. I love what, exactly, after they got out of the presence of God, the first thing is said, listen, let us go tell everybody what we just encountered. Do y'all know that's what we're called to do? They went out and they told everybody, and it said the people were astonished. And then they went back giving glory to God. We're supposed to be a people of praise and proclamation. Proclamation, telling people why Jesus came and giving God glory. When we do that, do you know that he says, then if he be lifted up, he will draw men to himself. That's what God is calling us to. Once they heard from God, they pursued the presence of God, and they got in his presence. That's why we say encounter God's presence. Then I discover my purpose. I recognize while I'm here why he created me, and I experience his power. Once you've had an encounter with God and you've seen his presence, you got to go tell somebody. Some of us today have that experience. When you really recognize why God has you here and you came into a relationship with Christ, you wanted to tell your loved ones as soon as you can. This is what I love about it. See, when it's, and we got to keep the newness. See, when they encountered the presence, immediately they told. Right? And that's what it was like. When you first came to know Christ, man, I want to tell everybody. But do you know what? We got to stay in his presence. Maybe we don't go keep telling the story because we were once there and now he didn't got so familiar. We didn't go back to the beginning. Now we done crowded him out. So it's not as, the story ain't as good to you anymore. Do you know sometimes even the story of Christmas and why Christ came becomes almost like rote memory to us? We know it. We can recite it. We can say it. But how real is it to me today? Fall in love with him fresh daily. And when you fall in love with him fresh daily, it ought to make you want to go tell the story and proclaim his glory. This season, that's what we're here. That's what we should be doing. That's what the church exists for. It's not existing for more programs. If the programs the church does is not connected to proclamation of his glory and telling the story, it's just another good social program. There's a lot of good organizations who do good social programs. Let us as the church not be like that. Whatever we do here ought to be connected to mission, proclaiming the glory of God and telling the story of why he came. He was born for this. Today, let me ask you, what will you do with Jesus? Number one, have you crowded him out to the periphery of your life? If you have, today he's calling you, look, it's time to do some house cleaning. It's time to do some house cleaning. Throw every out thing out, and I will make room for you. If you were clueless to why he came, I want to let you know, I hope you come to understand that you have more than a clue to understand he came because he loved you and he wants a relationship with you. You may not have room for Christ in your life. You may not have invited him into your dwelling because you didn't recognize why he came. And I'm here to tell you, he came because he loves you and he has a plan for your life. And all he wants you to do is admit to him, I'm not perfect. Admit to him, I'm a sinner separated from him. Believe he sent his son Jesus. He came born as a baby so he can identify with you. He lived, went through everything that you and I go through and never sinned, not one time, so that he could qualify to be the sacrifice for our sins. And he allowed human beings, the ones he created, he allowed us to kill him, to shed his blood, hang him on a cross so he could die for us,
to make us right, to justify. And he rose again. But he did not, listen, I love it, because he didn't just stay in the grave. He rose again. Up from the grave, he arose to make us right with God, justify us, so that we now, when we accept his gift, can now know hope, have hope that we will one day rise with him. The Bible says that if you have hope only in this life, you're of all men most miserable. I hope you make room for him today, that you come have a clue and understand why he came. And for those of us who have already made that understanding, have already accepted him as Savior and Lord today, are you in position to hear from God? Humble yourself. Today, you might be in a position, you might be in a humbling position. And look, instead of you being depressed and discouraged about the position you're in, there's somebody today watching me. God has put you in a position, a low position, just like the shepherds, a low position, out in the distance, isolated in the dark. You might be in a dark place. I'm here to tell you that dark place is not, it may not be the devil getting you in that dark place. That dark place is the time where God has got you so he can speak to you. Ask him, God, open the eyes of my heart so I can see you. What is it you would have me to do? And as you get in that place and he begins to speak to you and direct your life, listen, you ought to pursue his presence. Run after the presence of God more than you run after everything else. And as you run after the presence of God more than everything else, he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. When you diligently seek him, he rewards you. And as you pursue him and he rewards you, you know what? Proclaim his glory and tell his story. Because as you pursue him and he's rewarding you, guess what? He's going to bless you openly. The God who sees in secret will reward you openly. The Bible in Psalm 23 says he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. As I pursue his presence, he will reward you openly. Why? So you can proclaim his glory. And people can be drawn to him. That's why he came. He was born for this. And now he's calling us to be messengers to go take that message of reconciliation to the world. Amen? Amen. Can you all stand with me? He was born for this. Let's learn a lesson from the shepherds. Let them lead us. Get in position to hear from God. Pursue the presence of Christ and proclaim his glory and tell his story wherever we go. Dear God, Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you loved us enough to come after us. Thank you for pursuing us. For running after us. When we disobeyed you, God, and did our own thing, your word said there's none righteous, there's none seeks after you. You came after us. We thank you for that. Today, God, we ask you, I, Lord, on behalf of my brothers and sisters, we apologize for when our lives have been too crowded, for when we pushed you out on the periphery of our lives so there is no room for you. Today, God, we confess it and come to say, I will make room for you. I will make room for you, God. We will allow you to take the throne of our lives because you are a wonderful counselor. You are our everlasting Father. You are the mighty God. You are the Prince of Peace. Lord, we will allow you to guide and direct our lives. Lord, help us to pursue you, Lord God, to position ourselves to hear from you. Help us not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to recognize that the ground is level at the foot of the cross. It's not about our status in this life. And Lord God, as we recognize that and as we humble ourselves before you, God, you said, Lord, if we humble ourselves, you will exalt us. If we do that, Heavenly Father, I pray now that we get in our heart that you'll raise up a remnant of people in this place and in this nation, Lord, in this world, that will be God chasers, that will pursue after your presence more than they chase the paper. Help us to run after you and understand that in your presence is fullness of joy. And I pray that as we do that, Lord God, and you bless us because your word says that you reward those who pursue you. As you're rewarding us and blessing us, let us go and proclaim your glory and tell the story. Give us the boldness. Give us holy boldness to go and tell the good news of Jesus Christ. We praise you and we thank you.
again, is that before I close, if there's somebody today who's never come to accept this Savior and Lord of your life, you've never accepted him maybe because your life was too crowded, you've had other things going on that you just never, you've heard it, the gospel, you've heard it, but you had just pushed it out, or because you just had no idea why he came. Today, I hope you are now made aware why he came just for you. If you'd like to receive him as Savior and Lord, I want to pray a simple prayer of invitation for you to invite Jesus as Lord of your life so that he can forgive you of every sin that you've ever committed, past, present, and future, and restore you in right relationship with God. If you'd like to do that today, just pray this after me silently right where you are. Just say, "Dear God, thank you for loving me just like I am. I admit that I'm a sinner separated from you. And I believe that Jesus came to be my substitute. I believe you sent your son Jesus to die for me. That he was buried and that he rose again to make me right with you. And today I make the choice to invite Christ as Savior and Lord of my life to forgive me of every one of my sins and make me who he wants me to be. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name." Man, if you prayed that prayer with your eyes closed in the building, at home, if you prayed that prayer and you meant it from the bottom of your heart, your next step now is to grow. He wants you to grow. We want to help give you some tools to grow. It's very simple. There's a simple way you can do that. If you're at home, look, if you prayed that prayer and you're watching on YouTube or Facebook, you can indicate in the chat, "Look, I prayed that prayer, Pastor. I prayed that prayer." Or you can do this. Simply send a text message to 301-804-2520. And this is the message you're going to send. It's just the one word. You're going to type the word next. N-E-X-T. You prayed that prayer and you were serious. I want you to text, type the message next to 301-804-2520. And look, what it's going to do, we're going to give you some tools to help you grow and let you know what you need to do next. Another thing you can do is I mentioned earlier, I was going to reference that connection form, that connect card online. You can go to encounterchurch.net/next. You can go right there. And then that form, say, "Look, I prayed that prayer to accept Christ today. I prayed that prayer to accept Christ today." Let us know about that. You can do that in the building as well. You can do that in the building as well. You can send that text message, 301-804-2520. Text the word next. Send that. If you're in the building, also, you have an opportunity. I'm going to stay right here after service. You come see me. Come see me and say, "Pastor, look, I prayed that prayer. That prayer that you prayed, that was me. What do I do next?" If you want to talk to me, you can come talk to me right after service. Amen? Finally, for those of us who are here and you say, "Look, Pastor, I've accepted Christ, but I want to confess. I want to recommit my life to him. I've been crowding him out. I've got all these other things that have pushed him to the periphery. And I want to say, God, forgive me. I'm putting you back on the throne." If that's you today, can I pray with you? If you want prayer today, if you're in the house and you're at home, you say, "Look, Pastor, pray for me. I want to recommit my life to putting Jesus in the proper place today." If that's you, why don't you raise your hand right where you are. Say, "Pastor, pray for me." Amen. I see that hand. Anybody else say, "Pray for me, Pastor. I want to recommit myself to putting Jesus Christ on the throne of my life where he belongs and keeping him there." If you say, "Pastor, I need prayer to help keep him there. He's there, but I know it's tempting. Sometimes I can go back and forth. I want to keep him there." I see that hand. I see that hand. At home, I see those. If you're at home, listen, we want to pray for you. "Dear God, Heavenly Father, I come with my brothers and sisters today and say, Lord, we recommit ourselves to placing you on the throne of our lives and saying, Lord, we're going to clean house to make room for you. We commit ourselves to pursue your presence, to proclaim your glory and tell the story. And God, Heavenly Father, thank you for being patient with us. But when we've dropped the ball, when we've gone backwards, Lord, on our commitments, and we thank you that, Lord, you don't leave us or forsake us. That even when we go back on our commitments, God, you don't turn your back on us. Thank you for being a loving and patient Father with us. So God, now as we come to recommit ourselves in the building and at home, God, fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit so that we can walk in obedience to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen? Amen. Give God a hand of praise tonight. Amen. Amen. You can have your seat. Amen. In a moment, I'm going to have the praise team come and just lead us as we go into our time of giving. Amen. I'm going to give you an opportunity to give at this time. If you're in the house, there's some brothers here who have the baskets. You can give at home. You can also give electronically via Cash App, $Encounter Life, at the website, encounterchurch.net/give. Or you can use the Givelify app. If you don't have the app, all you got to do is text the word give to 301-804-2520. And you can give that way as well. Amen? Amen. Brother Jamal is going to come as you give you an opportunity to give, and then we'll come back up to close out. Amen?